Well, let us begin then this evening with the singing of Psalter 175. 175, and there are the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4, all four stanzas. Come, all ye people, bless our God, and tell his glorious praise abroad, who holds our soul in life. 1 through 4 of 175. I would like to read tonight from Paul's epistle to the Ephesians, and thereof chapter 4. Ephesians 4, and we read the verses 1 to 16. I, therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that ye walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So far the scripture reading. Shall we try to pray? Lord of heaven and of the earth, and at the evening of this day, this work day, we may have come together within the walls of thy house to hear what one of our forefathers has written, and what scripture also says of it. And when we may have come together to have a Bible class again, the first one of the new season, then we ask thee, Lord, may thou be within in our midst, and may thou help us to be together in a profitable manner, that we may feel thy help also in giving the instruction, and that it may be blessed also to the hearts and souls of many of us. We hope to consider a part of the pilgrim's progress, the journey of the pilgrim to the celestial city, in which we can find so much instruction also for the life of thy church today, in all ages and everywhere, all over the world, Lord, and in all variety of cultures, languages, customs, and there will be something that they can identify with, and that they will recognize us in their own life of what we read in that book. And Lord, may, if we have no knowledge of that, we have come to be here, and that's good, but if we miss that personal traveling with Christian and hopeful, faithful, to that celestial city, if we miss the life of a pilgrim, if we never have become a stranger in this world, if we are not acquainted with the spiritual warfare of which we also have heard past Sunday evening, though there is difference in intensity and depth and heaviness, and the one will have more strife than the other. But if we are strangers of that battle, if we don't know of the leadings of thy Spirit, and we are still traveling for our own account, still strangers of thee and of ourselves on the way to that never-ending eternity, oh, may it then please thee to yet to begin to work in the hearts of those whose eyes are closed and who have a stony heart. Oh, may then thou also use this Bible class for that purpose, that thy kingdom may come, that many yet may learn to bow before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and may surrender unto him, and may ask, what wilt thou have me to do? O Lord, come yet with the powerful, irresistible working of the Holy Spirit in the hearts of many of us. Oh, there is not one who can miss it. Also in this week we hear the callings, and one of our brothers also had to stand at the deathbed of his mother-in-law. We commend them also unto thee with the whole family. And Lord, may thou strengthen also in this bereavement, and may it be blessed also to the souls of children, grandchildren, and to all of us. Lord, remember also that old friend in her nursing home, but in such a very weak condition that we fear that her life will quickly draw to an end. Oh, may it please thee to remember her. And when the time is there, and she has expressed many times the last days that she is longing to go, not only to be delivered of misery, but to be delivered of sin, oh Lord, may it then please thee to give her an easy access, an entrance into thy kingdom. There'll be a wonder for everyone who may come there. If it never has become a wonder, then we may well question it. But Lord, those who have learned to stand outside, they will not hear "Depart from me," and begin to stand outside, because they began here already. All those who were not worthy that I would look upon them and to receive a crumb from that bread, they will not be sent empty away. And may then thou also remember her. Thou knowest her heart and needs. Oh, may thou make it well. And when she has to travel through the Jordan of death, may she have an eye upon the ark in the Jordan. Lord, remember all our elderly ones and sick ones and needy ones. All crosses and trials are known to thee. Lord, may thou remember our families also, our youth, our children, and may it please thee yet to do wonders where no one is able to break the heart of a sinner, and no one is able to break the enmity against thee and thy dear Son Jesus. But thou hast but to speak, and it is there. Command, and it stands firm. Lord, may thou yet have mercy upon our offspring, our children and grandchildren. Times are so serious, and so speaking of thy judgments, the judgment of hardening of the heart, which has come upon so many. Lord, thou hast not yet finished building thy church. May then thou remember us also in this evening, give wisdom. Also, if there are questions, to answer those questions rightly and clearly, and to explain the portion that we hope to discuss in this evening in an edifying manner. And may it be good to have been together here. Maybe there are those who walk with riddles and questions. Oh Lord, may thou yet use also this evening's instruction to give them some direction and to show them that thou knowest of thine own work. Hear us, not because we deserve it. Then thou could justly pass us by, but wilt thou do it for thine own names, for Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Dear friends, we read a portion from Ephesians 4 about what the ascended King of the church has given to his church. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So he gave various offices in church, various instruments, but he also gave a variety of pastors. And when we only think of the disciples, and we see how much variety there was amongst them, Peter, John, and we think also of the letters of Paul and James, what a difference there is also in the contents of those letters. Not that the one contradict the other, but there is a difference of emphasis, and I think it is so necessary also nowadays to realize that that is God's wisdom, to have some variety, that not all God's servants can be the same and should be the same, that we shouldn't compare the one with the other, but that we may realize that the Lord gives in his wisdom what is necessary to a certain church at a certain time, as long as they speak the truth. Now, we have considered last season portion of the Pilgrim's Progress, in which we saw the two pilgrims, Doubting Castle and nearly perishing under the hands of the giant Despair. We have also seen how the Lord brought him out. It was the key of the promise, and that he gave that the two pilgrims could escape. And we know from God's side no one will ever perish on the way, but there are many examples, and we hope to see it also further, that those who seem to have started out the journey never came to the end. And then I say seem to have started the same journey. They have climbed over the wall, but they were also seemed to go in the direction of the celestial city. Now after the Lord has brought him out and brought him back to the right path, they travel and then they come to an entirely different type of place, an experience, shows us that the life of God's people is also a life with many changing frames and conditions and circumstances. It's not always in the valley, not always in the strife, it's also not always on the top of the mountain, but the Lord also certainly gives those moments that his children may have a little rest. It may seem sometimes, we heard it Sunday night, that the warfare never ceases, and that is true. But still, the enemy sometimes has to flee, and the Lord also gives certain times of refreshment. The one gets more of it than the other. Again, God's wisdom. There are those who may have a fairly quiet journey, and others seem to be always in storms and always in near shipwreck. God's leadings are different. Just like a teacher in class or a father in family or mother knows there's a difference of approach to the according to the difference of characters among their children. And we may make mistakes the Lord never makes and does. So he leads them according to his wisdom. Also sometimes according to what he has in mind for them, a certain task, a certain calling, and he prepares them sometimes, in ways of trials. But there are also times that they may rest. And so the two pilgrims, they come now to mountains which are called the Delectable Mountains, pleasurable mountains in which there is delight. And there they may drink, they may also wash themselves, and may eat of the grapes which are hanging from the trees, and so they may have a blessed, precious time. And God's people also know those times. They's not always struggling. There are also times that the Lord gives them to maybe at his table to rest a while, that the journey will not be too great for them, too much for them. And so they may enjoy that time there. And while they are there, they see us on the tops of the mountains, sheep, picture of the church of God, and four shepherds. And I would like to also consider those four shepherds a little more. When they come closer to those shepherds, Christian asks some questions. Is this the way to the celestial city? Are we on the right way? Say, that is a strange question. He was placed on that way. But God's people need to have divine confirmations. And sometimes they go to the house of God. They say, "Our Lord, show it then again. That I'm still on the right way. That is still the way in which thou leadest all thy people." Sometimes their way seems to be so strange, so different than others. They may have such thoughts that they think no one else thinks. You have that too sometimes. Thoughts in your mind or a thorn in the flesh. They say, "Ah, what a man I am. Shall I be really one of God's people, or woman? Is that something that God's people also have? Is it possible to have such things?" And see, that adversary is also busy, and therefore we never come above that need of divine confirmation. Not always in question in unbelief, but, "Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, help thou me to believe it, and strengthen then also my faith." So the need of confirmation. And they also ask another question: is it far yet to the city? How long is it yet? Do we have to travel? Are we getting close to the end? Remember, that's my wife and I in a burst of youthful energy, maybe you were climbing a kind of mountain, and mountain, but was at least a steep slope, and it would lead to a lake somewhere in Alberta. The day off, but it seemed to be so endless, and after a while you met some people coming down, having been there. I
say, how far is it yet?
Yeah. And you say, halfway, then it's discouraging if you think you're nearly there. Maybe some at the end said, oh, just 5 minutes yet. So, the question, how far is it there? And God's people are just like this mountain climbers. And they often get weary. They say, oh, will I ever come to the end? Sometimes they're longing for the end. Just come from Mrs. Jane Rodfoot's, you know, she's normally speaking, lying before, maybe close to the gate of death. I don't know, maybe a couple of days or a day. You don't know, but the blessing it is if he may be prepared and may have a desire, and not just a desire to get rid of the pain or misery of his life, and you're wearied of your life, but the desire to be with him, to see him as he is. Think of that wife of one of my brothers in Franklin Lakes. His first wife died from cancer. Then the last weeks that he said, oh, sometimes I long to see him as he is. Well, there can still be different storms coming up then yet, but still, if there's never a longing, never a desire, never a question, Lord, how far yet? Sometimes it can be different. And we say, oh, I'll be so close. I'm afraid. Death is the last enemy. Afraid of dying. We are maybe too much clinging to the world and we are not ready. We are too much bound to this earth. But the question is this, is it far yet? You know, and then the shepherds answer. They say, well, it is too far for everyone who tries to come there in his own strength. Too far. For everyone who comes, tries to get there in his own strength. But then he also say it is not too far for those who will arrive there. You say, well, that doesn't help much. But I mean this, that the Lord leads there, it will never be too far. But it is, they don't give a right answer, say, it is so and so far, but not too far for those who will arrive there. And then another question maybe, is the way safe? Is it a safe way? Are there dangers? Yeah, all the way is safe for those who truly are giving to come to him, but yeah, there are dangers on that road, sure. Is there an opportunity to rest there? And all kinds of questions, you know. They like to know more about what lies ahead of them, and they like to have some answers. And the shepherds also answered, the Lord of this place, he commanded us to show hospitality, so there are places where you can rest, where you stay overnight, so to say. And there are opportunities, sure. Although the shepherds, they also ask questions in return. They say, where do you come from? Good question. Where do we come from? Do we know where we have come from? Do we know where the Lord found us? Do we know how he found us in unrighteousness or self-righteousness? I think all God's children know where the Lord has taken them out from, even if they don't always know the exact point of time. And also, how did you come on this way? Can you tell that? How you came to the knowledge of what you express? Can you say how it went, what the Lord did, how you obtained it? Oh, it is good to speak of this way. It is good to speak of him who is the way. But how did you get there? And how did you get to know that way? As a legitimate question. And what would it be your answer? what you say. And then they also say, ask them, by what means did you come this far? How come that you came this far? Can you tell us what helped you to come here? And also that must be a question that we can answer. How the Lord brought us where we are. How he led us as far as he has led us by his grace. And when the answers are satisfactory, then the shepherds welcome them to the Delectable Mountains. Who are these shepherds? You can understand those shepherds are a picture, a figure of those who have to keep, to lead the sheep. The pastors, the ministers, God's servants. And there are four. And they all four have a very significant name. First one's name is Knowledge. And the second one is called Experience. And the third one is called Watchful. And the fourth one has an also different name, Sincere. Knowledge, Experience, Watchful, and Sincere. So they all have a different name. Then I come back to my openings statements. There is variety, there is difference amongst those pastors. Some may well bear the name Knowledge. Knowledge seems to be the leader of the four. He is most qualified for that because he has knowledge. He has been taught. He has been richly instructed. You say, what kind of instruction did he get? All those pastors, they need to be, first of all, well-versed in the Word of God. They need to be taught in the Scriptures. They need to know the truth as it is revealed in the Word of God, as the Word of God is. They also need to know the doctrine. They need to know what we believe and why we believe this. So they need to be qualified for their task by having knowledge. And helpful for the knowledge is a good mind, a good memory. Not enough. Just helpful, and the Lord often has given a man whom he called to his service the ability also, some ability at least, to study and to retain what they read and studied and to put that in an orderly fashion. And so that knowledge is important. A knowledge which may be obtained also at our fathers were very much in favor of that. It's not reformed to say, well, we believe in immediate things, and that's much more real, and that may make important and special people, but the Lord, he's not glorified in special people, but in special grace. Our fathers were very much in favor of and emphasized the need of that those prophets, evangelists, teachers must be well instructed. So theological schools, colleges, seminaries, they really did not despise them. Knowledge. But still I must say something else. Those pastors whose name is Knowledge are also those that are most taught in the school of the Holy Spirit, who has enlightened them to understand these truths. Because their natural mind doesn't really penetrate into the truth, may know the words and may put them in an orderly fashion, but they do not, that doesn't, the human mind, the human understanding, the natural understanding doesn't penetrate into the essence of it, into the true meaning of it, into the significance of it, into the importance of it. So the knowledge is also obtained, one of our fathers said, not only by studying and having a good mind and being able to retain it and to maybe keep it in some files that you can also go back to it, that you know I can use of it, and to store it, but also and to be diligent in studying and diligent in gathering in knowledge, and is necessary again, but they also emphasize the need of prayer. Lord, open my eyes that I may behold the wonders of thy law. And studying without a prayer and studying without the leading and enlightening of the Holy Spirit may make man puffed up, may make man very proud with his knowledge, but that intellectual knowledge doesn't man give an awe of the Lord and his beauties, and doesn't give the true understanding of the truth. So this knowledge is a knowledge that is gathered in the way of the means, studying, reading, but also, above all, by the teaching of the Holy Spirit. And then the one has more and deeper knowledge of the truth than the other. You can see, and you should never compare an old pastor, for instance, who has been taught by the Lord for 50, 60 years with one who just begins. Though there are exceptions, and there are examples that young men, think of Gray and McChain, young ministers, think of Zacharias Erzinus and Caspar Olivianus, the two men who composed the Heidelberg Catechism. Then we can see that the Lord sometimes also gives a remarkable knowledge in the days of the youth. So let us never fall into a pitfall of looking down upon knowledge. It's all knowledge and all doctrine, as if doctrine is something to be despised. We may well search the doctrines in our days more than ever before, and not just seek that which stirs up some feelings, and if I feel good, that is the whole religion of today, feel good. And also God's people have to be careful that they just don't like to listen to or to read something that gives them, makes them to melt a little bit. I know that is pleasant if your heart melts a little bit, and if that if it begins to be a little warm inside, and if there is a little drawing again, you say, oh Lord, I'm not dead yet, I'm still alive, oh thou hast not yet forsaken me. That is very nice, but still, you know what we need more than anything else? Knowledge, to be taught, to be instructed in the mysteries of salvation. And that is a mystery to the very end, that whosoever will lose his life will have it. And that it is going backward in yourself, so the church goes forward to heaven. And that he must increase and I decrease. So the Lord teaches his children and his servants at the school of his grace. And well taught, they may teach, being well taught, they may teach others. I hope that the Lord may give man with knowledge, with understanding, and man who may have the gifts, think also of Paul, what a knowledgeable man he was, and the Lord has used him as no other one, also in the writing of his word. So he can use also an Amos, and can use a Peter, and he did, but the Lord has shown in the history of the church that he specially uses, think of Calvin, man who was gifted with a special understanding and a knowledge that we can hardly imagine, so vast, a vast amount of knowledge, and how the Lord has used him for many generations after him. Knowledge, that's the one who is first. And what a blessing the Lord gives us, such pastors. But there is something else yet. There is a second one whose name is experience. And also that is a very important and essential name and thing for a pastor. You know, It is something else to talk about things, but to talk about strife and warfare and temptations and deliverances and to be in the pit and to be delivered out of it. It is something to speak about poverty and how the Lord fills the emptiness of the, or to have experienced what we are speaking about. Christ was tempted in all points, we read in the Word of God, and so he could be a faithful and merciful high priest, and he could succor, he could sustain those who were tempted, because he understands, he knows by experience, there is no way which God's people have to go where he was not in before. And Paul, the man with the thorn in his flesh, the man with the Satan buffeting him, he could comfort others with the comfort that he had received himself. And you know, when you receive comfort, then you can be sure there is a great need. Then there is a need or a sorrow or grief that makes you cry for help, for comfort. And Paul could relate that to others. He knew it by experience. He could comfort others with the comfort which the Lord had given to him. And what a blessing it is if the Lord may give you pastors who also have experience, who know what it is to be tested and to be tried. And sure, it is not necessary that God's servants experience everything what any child of God can have to go through, because I would think that would be impossible. He would not be able to live, or he would not be able to go through it, though the Lord is almighty. But still, the Lord gives sometimes special trials and furnaces to his servants in order that they may not only be humbled, but that they may be useful for others. Do they see that at that time? Many times they don't see it at all. But the Lord in his wisdom, he gives men who by experience may know the weakness of the warrior, Hosea 52, and the power of the enemies, but may also know by experience how the Lord delivered them, and so he does others. The third one, name is Watchful. Also a very important name. We read in Hebrews 13, verse 17, about pastors and shepherds, bishops, they watch for your souls. You know, that implies love for souls. That implies concern for souls. And I read in a writer, he said, sometimes the Lord has given pastors who do not have, maybe such a brilliant mind. Sometimes they even were not so deeply experienced, but they had a tender, loving heart for the flock. And that love that made them watchful, to watch for the wolves that threatened the flock, for the dangers that threatened the sheep, which are so precious to them, and for the needs of the lambs, who have not much strength to continue. Watchful. Those are always looking out for that which may threaten the well-being of the pilgrims, and who wish the salvation of those souls. Now the next one is sincere. Sincere. And again, there's a very important thing. Even the political battle, I don't say it has me in its grip, but I'm certainly interested in seeing how this will develop. And so, then you also read in the paper, how did it go last night with the debate? And then the one is compared with the other. And sometimes people question the sincerity of what be fulfilled. May the Lord keep us from a leadership which is hypocritical, which is not sincere. And I'm afraid we had a lot of it already in the last years. Sincere. But nowhere there is so much damage done, not only in a nation or in a country or to an office, the highest office in the country, but as in the Church of God. If God's servants are not sincere, if they speak flattering words, but they don't mean it, they say it in order to be liked by the people. If they serve themselves instead of the sheep, if they are not sincere in warning, in promise, in instructing and exhorting and in guiding the sheep, if there are words, but empty words. And we read of Eunice and Lois, mother and grandmother of Timothy, that Paul could speak of their unfeigned faith. He could speak of the faith that was unfeigned. It was not made up. It was not a mask. It was true. It was sincere. And see, what is it to be sincere? That is, that the motive of the shepherds, of those who may work in God's vineyard, I include elders and other workers in God's church, if the motive may be the honor of God and the salvation of souls, if they may not seek their own honor, but may have self-denial and also be sincere in dealing with souls, if they try to make themselves free from the blood of those who are entrusted unto their care. You may sometimes ask, is it easy to be a pastor? Oh, you have to preach, yes, that remains an impossible work. You also have to deal with souls. And is that easy? It may sometimes make you tremble and say, Lord, on the one hand, may I not touch thy work, even if it is small. May I not grieve the Spirit by throwing away which could be of thee. May I also not do damage by building up where the rest cannot be. May I be sincere in warning if I'm not sure, or if you say, well, it is good to search your heart, or even further, if you think that's not right. And not that we may be judgmental, but the souls will be required the hand of the pastors. You may know for me, the Lord has called me many years ago, the words from Ezekiel, the Lord has spoken about a watchman, a son of man. And we read it also in Ezekiel 3. The Lord says to the son of man, I have made thee, thinking how it is in English, a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth, and give them warning from me. Say unto the wicked, but also speak, yeah, to the righteous. But say unto the wicked. So, what is the task of a watchman? To warn, to be sincere, to be upright with those who are entrusted unto him. Now these are the names of the four shepherds, and so they have asked some questions to the pilgrims, and then they take them by the hand. Task of God's servants, to take the sheep, the pilgrims, by the hand, as it were. And you must not stand way too high. You must come next to them and try to lead them. And they bring them to their tents and bring them place. May I receive more instruction, but also more rest and more refreshment before they will continue their way. And see, They also show them something around the mountain, the Delectable Mountains. And they say, "See you? Do you see that hill? Steep slope is going down, leading to a ravine." And when they look down, they see bones of people may have fallen over the cliff and they have lost their life. It makes them shiver. The name of the hill is Error. Oh, there are examples of those errors in Scripture many times. And Hymenaeus and Philetus, those who deny the resurrection of Christ, the resurrection, of how necessary it is to not search the hidden things and to penetrate into that which is hidden from us, but to stay with the simplicity of faith as it is revealed in the Word of God, is a warning example that he'll err. Next one they see is a Mount Caution. When they look, they see people wandering around. They have no sense of direction. There are tombs there. You see them wandering around amongst those tombs, and going from place to place without direction. And that's no wonder, because they are blind. They have been in Doubting Castle. They have been in the hands of a giant despair. And he has blinded their eyes. See, there's another thing they would like, they have to see. There's a byway to hell. Byway. And all there are also many who perished and in an eternal darkness. It must bring them to the prayer, "Keep me, O Almighty God." And then the shepherds say, "Come." And now they gave them a telescope and they say, "Now you may look." And they take that telescope in their hands, and their hands tremble from what they have seen. They are just shaken up by it, a fear. Still, the trembling hands, they look, and yes, they see, they get a little glimpse, just a little, of the gates of the celestial city. They see a little spark of the glory of that city. And then, foretaste. Before they continue their journey. And then they have to leave. Four shepherds, they give them a farewell. The first shepherd gives them a map of the way. And we would say that Scripture, that is what we always need and continue to need, where the Lord shows the way to the city. The second shepherd gives them a warning. It says, "Be aware of one whose name is Flatter. He flatters you with nice and beautiful words, but don't trust him. He's very dangerous." And the third one says, and please, no, "Don't rest or sleep on enchanted ground." Enchanted ground. Ground where is, yeah, I would say, there's sorcery. There is this, the power of the devil. And the fourth one wishes them God's blessing and keeping, God's speed. And then we read that Bunyan awoke out of his dream. Soon he slept again. And then he will see more things, which we hope to consider the next time. And he sees how the two pilgrims are coming down from the Delectable Mountains and go on the way further to the city which they have seen. Let us now first sing together. And if you have questions, then I will try to answer them. Psalter 357. 357, four stanzas. "And Zion, in her lowest state, was brought from bondage by the Lord. In ecstasy we sang for joy, by grace and wondrous love restored. We sing all four stanzas, and you may need a little bit time then also for the deacons. They will collect the questions, the money, but also the collection, the questions. Let us then also sing afterward 382, all five stanzas. So 357, 1 through 4, and 382, stanzas 1 through 5. have just one. If there are more from the audience, then feel free. But this is the one you spoke of, melting of heart as a sign of life in God's people. Question: when an unconverted person has a melting under the preaching, what is it? Is it only emotions or feelings? Please speak a little about this. So when I spoke of a melting of the heart, then I meant of a heart that has been melted before, but it can grow so hard, so cold again, and yeah, sometimes as barren as if never anything happened. And if then there may be a little melting of the heart sometimes, then and maybe yeah, a little encouragement to them that the Lord has not given them up to the hardness of their heart. They may be afraid of it sometimes. They say, Lord, are they leaving me? Are they going away from me? I deserve it because I have left thee so many times. I've grieved thy spirit. Hey, that we think, is the Lord now, is he departing from me? And then if there's sometimes under the preaching, you read something, or it sometimes suddenly changes, that the heart becomes warm again, and yeah, the one has more tears than the other, but it is not always in tears, but at least that inwardly the heart breaks and begins to melt. Oh, that's a wonderful experience. Then they say, the Lord has not given me up to the hardening of my heart. He's still there. Lord, don't leave me now. But here's the question: when an unconverted person has a melting under the preaching, what is it? Well, it is certainly a striving of the Spirit. If there is a melting of the heart, there certainly is striving of the Spirit with you. There's still in convict work, perhaps, in knocking at the door. The wind is blowing. There isn't, I would say, the Lord is not far from you. I don't say that it isn't a changed or a new heart. Secondly, we don't always know whether yeah, we are converted or unconverted then. And it's also best that we don't know that at a time. But yeah, if there's a melting, but it is, at least the Lord is speaking. At least he doesn't give you up to the hardening of your heart yet. And you should bow your knees and say, oh Lord, for a moment there was, that hard heart was a little soft, but leave me not. Do that same prayer. And Lord, may my heart also be renewed. May it be inclined to fear thee. We know that Orpah also cried and wept. So it is possible to have tears under the preaching or melting of the heart somewhat, and that later on it yeah, passes by and we get hard again, and sometimes as if never anything happened, and we continue our old course. That's possible. It's also possible that the Lord yeah, begins to incline that heart and ask for that. What it is, the Lord knows. No one knows. No minister can tell you. And it would not be wise to tell you that either. I think, you know, I've been taught, as far as I may know, to be careful, but in two ways. Not to be to be careful not to condemn, but also careful not to put hands on people. Because I am afraid that it sometimes will be used by a person to rest. Now the minister has approved it, now he's fine with me. It's very dangerous. We are rest seekers. And therefore I will not easily say that. And even if I would have a little hope in my heart, I will not easily say that. The Lord must tell you that. Say unto my soul, I am thy salvation. You know, I remember in my second congregation, there was, maybe I told it, but I think I mentioned it from the pulpit once, that I was going around and there was a man, yeah, indeed. He said, oh, I asked him how he was doing. He said, oh, Reverend, I'm miserable. I'm the most miserable of all people in this town. And I feel like of the whole world. He said, because outside of the devil, there's no more miserable creature than an unconverted person. And he says, and he cried for a moment. He says, and Reverend, that unconverted person, that's me. And he could feel, and not just a lesson that he had learned from Hallenbrook, but it was reality. Cry of anguish, that's me, unconverted. I can tell you how that sounded in my ears, like music. One who was standing outside, unconverted. And did I tell him, you're on the right way? No. But you bring that in on your knees, in your inner room, you try to. There came a time that the Lord broke through a little bit, that he came to the Lord's table. And then I was on house visitation. I think I visited him with an old elder. The old elder was one with good ears. Yes. I trusted his ears better than mine. He was about 90 years old, but a very humble child of God. He would never say, I'm converted. Oh, I said, oh, may the Lord yet convert me. But if you asked him, did you never see something of the Lord? Oh, yeah, I said, yes, but yeah, still I have to ask, Lord, convert me. But anyway, so we visited and, the person we visited talked a little bit about what had happened. And it was really a little bit mixed up. So I thought, there were things I'd like to hear. And other things, were not in the right place. And then, then you try to give some direction. And then I came outside, we stepped in the car. I thought, now I wonder what Kasuk was the elder's name, what he thinks about it. He didn't say much. I said, what do you think, brother? He said, Reverend, I'm thinking of what Reverend Ladybor once said. And I say it first in Dutch, because the ice book. He said, wees voorzichtig met de kleine. Be careful with the little ones. Want het zijn eieren en geen stenen, for these are eggs and not stones. Know the difference between an egg? Maybe life in an egg, not stones. Don't crush them. Be careful. So he said that, let us be careful. There may be that beginning life. And later on the time, the Lord showed it was his work. And man later on served as an elder yet in the church. See, that is at the one side, that sincerity, that carefulness, that uprightness, but also that tenderness, the beginning life. You know what my grandfather often said, I've mentioned that here before. He said to my father, who was then in his 20s, and before he was even a student in the school, he said, Los, I hear somebody talking, then listen. First of all, whether you hear is the love of God. Has that been shed abroad in that heart? That's the crucial thing. The love of God. And okay, you know that? If you love a person, you grieve about what you have done to him. There's pain, there's sorrow, there's grief. You wish that you could undo it. If there's love, than you. Can stand if there's something between. Eh? Your husband, wife, you love each other, so something you have to clear up. Or between parents and children. You can love, you can stand the separation, some wall in between. That must be done away. There's another mark, that separation. Oh Lord, how can that be taken away? If you love a person, then you're glad if others speak well of him. If you know, I love my father, and he thought his preaching most of the time, he thought it was not much. A very low thoughts of himself. But if I heard others speaking well of him, I like that because you love your father, right? And oh, do we then also, do we rejoice if the Lord gives his servant or some of his children in another setting in the house, a servant in church, and you may feel that they may lift up his name. You say, oh, go on, continue. I can do it, but I love to hear his name exalted. Because, and do you then grieve when others put your father down, when others speak badly about the Lord, or when others despise the truth? Do you mourn when your husband or wife or your children don't go in the way? Not because they don't go to your church, but because they do not see the presence of the Lord. And they go their own way. And they go the way of their flesh. And they don't see how precious the Lord is and his service. Dear friends, I hope that I may be a pastor who may not be hard on the little ones. I hope never. I hope I may be a pastor that does not build up outside of the foundation. Now sometimes you may have searching questions, but I hope that there may be sheep also that cannot rest short of that the Lord tells how it is, that he knows of the word. And you know, an emotion, if you have meltings of your heart, yeah, I don't see it too often, but it's nice if you may feel that there are still impressions also among young people. You see some tears maybe, but I will always be careful with that. Some have an emotional nature that still makes them to cry. I've never seen my father crying on the pulpit all his life, but I could see when the Lord gave him opening. Oh yes, everyone could feel it. Everyone could see it, that the Lord lifted him up and that he could, but never crying. And others can cry easily, sobbing and crying, and yeah, that's a difference. But let's be careful not to look too much at the crying or the weeping. But if there's love, then the fruits will reveal it. Then you love God's house and his people and his servants and his church, and then you love to be dealt with in an honest way. And you know your own heart, you distrust it, and you are afraid of those who easily say, well, we use good, I'm so glad they hear it. Then you long to hear it from him. Now, so can I explain your emotions? The Lord may be speaking a little closer than to many others. Ask him to come closer yet and renew your heart and give you no rest before you are at the feet of Jesus, who can give the only rest. Any more questions? Jeff. Well, let's say that giant despair, It is an allegory. Okay? So, you say, some, when they come in the power of doubting, they can begin to question everything. And if it is not a true work, they can be left up to being mixed up completely and not knowing anymore what is true or what is false. See? And so the devil has many ways to murder a person. He can murder him by literally murdering him, but he can also murder him by taking away the light of his eyes. And they wandered as a spiritually dead one among the tombs. That is the picture of the spiritual dead ones. They walk among the tombs as the dead among the dead. That's what the devil does. Okay? Any more questions? I think good question. Okay? But always see it. Bunyan is trying to hit a point. You can't say, well, this means that, that means that, but he's trying to warn. See, pilgrim, you know, we read even in that book, that I close, that when they saw it, you know, then they began to cry, pilgrim, Christian and hopeful, because they thought, oh, how close were we to being murdered? How close have we been to, yeah, fall away? They cried because they saw one thing, they were kept. But it was just hardly, scarcely. Good, now we close then the evening and thank you for your questions and attention. Let us yet sing one more psalter and then we hope to close with prayer. I hope it gives you some instruction. Hey? 329, and let us sing the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. 1, 2, and 4. Lord, thou, Lord, hast dealt well with thy servant. Thy promise is faithful and just. Before my affliction I wondered, and now thy good word I obey. 1, 2, and 4. 329. Heaven and earth, thou hast seen us here together. Thou hast seen who are here, but thou hast also heard the words that were spoken, questions asked and answered. Lord, I forgive all that was done, said, and missed. is imperfect from our side. All our work needs the cleansing in the blood of Him who performed the perfect work, the Lord Jesus Christ. But thou did not only see us together, but thou also looked into our hearts. And Lord, and thou knowest the hearts of thine own people. Thou knowest those who cannot live with the world anymore, cannot live with sin anymore, though sin clings to them, and who cannot be friends with the devil anymore, but who long for thee, for the living God. And Lord, and sometimes, many times, they see that wall and don't know how that ever can be removed. Oh, teach that there is no way from our side, but give also that true, saving, experiential knowledge of that holy way that thou hast opened to Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, in His blood, in His righteousness, is all what a poor sinner needs to be saved. And may He be magnified in many lives yet and hearts through the working of the Holy Spirit. Bless then also the instruction of this evening. Be thou our teacher for the first time or by renewal. Bring us safely home. Fulfill all our needs out of thy fullness. And be yet a prayer-hearing, prayer-answering God. For Jesus' sake alone. Amen. Good night.